and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show live from New York City. Happy Friday, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Patriot Majority. Patriot Majority believes it is our patriotic duty as Americans to pass health care reform now with a strong public option. Gling. Thank you. Representative Allison Schwartz, Democrat of the great state of Pennsylvania. This
Commonwealth.
Hour on pardon me, Commonwealth.
Commonwealth, yeah.
Yes, to talk health care. Representative Joe Sestak of the also great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
That threw you off, didn't it?
And Senator Bernie Sanders of the great state of Vermont. Next hour, comedian John Fugel saying, in all of hour number three, live with Mama in the studio. Oh, do I have stories.
Uh-oh.
I was out drinking with Ed Schultz last night, and I got some stories.
Oh, boy.
I think drinking with Ed Schultz is be quite an adventure.
I got some MSNBC fun facts. I got listeners
really?
Who did not want to
really?
Turn off the radio this morning.
Uh-huh. What did you eat? Did you eat something that was freshly killed by Ed Schultz?
Yes. We ate a raccoon freshly shot in Central Park by Ed Schultz.
Good. Good.
And skinned by Wendy, his lovely wife. All right. We will get to all of that in just a moment. In the meantime, the president, did he use the word get wee-weed up yesterday?
Yeah.
What does this mean? Apparently, Jim, everything's going to be fine. Healthcare is going to pass. Just stop getting wee-weed up.
Last year, just about this time, you'll recall that the Republicans had just nominated their vice presidential candidate, and everybody was, the media was obsessed with it, and cable was 24 hours a day, and Obama's lost his mojo, and you remember all that? There's something about August going into September where everybody in Washington gets all wee-weed up.
It's all what? Wee-weed up.
I don't know. He said it, so it must be a new word.
It's going into the lexicon now.
Yes, I suppose.
Wetting your pants or something, I guess.
That's what talk radio was all about, getting wee-weed up.
Yeah.
All right. Here was the really good news, I thought, yesterday. Representative Nancy Pelosi.
Well, there's no way I can pass a bill in the House of Representatives without a public option.
Hallelujah. All right. So let's hope that's... yes, thank you. Let's hope this is true. All right. You know what it is when Sean Hannity's starting to get nervous, Jim. You know the procedures that, Republicans used forever?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That are in our Constitution in terms of how our Senate and Congress work. Now those are tricks.
Right.
Watch out, America. Democrats won't compromise. They may resort to legislative tricks to ram their health care bill down your throat.
Oh. You mean like the Republicans used for the past 8 years?
But now they're magic tricks.
Yeah, and notice that suddenly they're calling for, we need at least 80 votes. Yeah, 60 is not enough.
Yeah. Okay. Where did Chuck Grassley pull that out of his ass?
Well, they just
eight,
keep upping the ante. I mean,
they
created this whole 60-vote nonsense in the first place. And they wanted to, the closer we get to...
Yeah, we'll get to Schmuck Astley in a little bit. But what's his deal on Fox News threatening the president? You need 80 votes. You need... It's like
80?
Yeah, they're calling for 80 votes now.
Yeah.
They just...
What?
Rachel was talking to it, illustrated very well last night by having a basketball player...
I talked to Rachel in her office. Yeah. I knew she was doing this bit. I'll get to
really?
That story.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Cool. I want to hear all the inside crap.
Oh, the show's going to explode.
They keep raising the hoop higher and higher.
You're getting ahead of me. We rehearsed the... We did it in her office before...
Oh, really?
Before the show. It was great.
Oh,
all
so
right.
You came up with the bit, huh?
No, well. No. She was telling me about it.
Okay.
I'll explain the whole thing later. In the meantime, let's go dancing with Delay. Who saw Tom DeLay drunking McPuke shoes on Hardball?
Tom DeLay, you joined the cast of Dancing with the Stars.
Can you believe it?
Oh, my God. Did you see him holding up the dance shoes he's going to use on Dancing with the Stars?
No.
Look at this shoe. It's a little pump with high heels.
I have very small petite feet.
Feminine step. Sounds like a lady when he's walking in the room. Texas two-step, polka, waltz. I even took disco lessons once.
How did he do such fantastic stunts with such little feet?
Well, sometimes people check to see if it's a man or woman walking into the room by the sound of the steps.
We have mentioned before that he has, like, he shops for shoes at the Baby Gap.
It is very hard for me to find shoes.
That's not slander.
Slander?
That's the truth.
It's like, you know, an ice cream cone trying to stand up.
Oh, just fall over.
Yeah.
No leverage.
Yeah.
How about that?
I've been told I have a very feminine step.
Baby Gap.
What is that? You know what it sounds like to me? A lady.
How about that?
Thank. Who is this? Listener Ken?
Yes.
Listener Ken in Cleveland. Thank you, Listener Ken. All right, so going to MSNBC for a liberal, it's like going to the Vatican, Jim. It's I did not get to kiss Keith Olbermann's ring. He
did you get to lick his chair like you did last time?
I didn't, you know why?
Why?
I think, well, A, the restraining order. B, he does his show in a different studio across the way than Ed and Rachel and Morning Joe and everybody else does.
Okay.
But going to 30 Rock to MSNBC, it was it really was a religious experience. It was... And so I got to go. I actually got into Rachel Maddow's office.
Very cool.
Yes, and it was great to see her. We had a great. And anyway, but Jim, she talked about that she was doing that basketball bit on the air, and she was. I was saying how great the pizza ordering bit was. Did you see that? She and Kent, you know, did
Kent
that Jones. That yeah thing about the healthcare thing. It's like trying to order pizza.
Right,
it's
right.
Like with the Republicans, and he just kept saying no to every topping, but he wants pizza. But the, anyway, hilarious. But she said, she goes, I'm afraid people are going to think I'm doing a stunt every night, like it's stunt week. But she was explaining how she was going to do was it a WNBA player? Because she said, we're doing the gayest thing ever tonight. It will be the gayest moment in the history of television. But anyway, it was great to see her. And I met Kent Jones, but you know, I'm a big geeky fangirl now.
Yes, you are. Remember when you did that? And remember when you did that?
Oh, seriously, that that's what
awesome.
It was like.
Oh, God.
I'm
no.
telling you, going
You're
to MSNBC,
Chris Farley.
It's like going to church. I was like, and then you guys, and then I sort of played Kent Jones' role. It was really ridiculous.
Oh, no, Stephanie.
Remember when you were in the Beatles?
That was awesome. Stupid.
I know, I told her that. I said, for someone that's actually known you for several years, I've just become a big geeky fangirl. I just kind of... I was like reenacting her moments on Meet the Press. I was like,
no.
And then when Dick Garmey, yeah, it was really
Stephanie.
It was embarrassing.
You know better than
Here's
that.
Here's what I found out, though, that's exciting. Her dad, you know, Bob, the famous Bob of Bob and Elaine.
Yes. Whom you spilled wine on.
Yes, I have spilled wine on the entire family, but we're email buddies. And Rachel was embarrassed to tell me that he is a big geeky fan of mine.
Oh.
And calls her literally every day to tell her what we did on our show.
Oh, God.
And what she should probably do that night. And I'm guessing she probably doesn't appreciate that.
No. Uh-uh.
Yeah, Dad, I do this for a living. And oh, FYI, I'm a lot more successful than she is. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a tiki machine.
Anyway, I love you, Mr. Maddow. We love you back. Anyway, so it was just, and then we went to dinner. Would you like the fun facts from the dinner with Ed and Wendy Schultz?
Sure.
Okay, and drinking Tanqueray and tonic.
Of course.
And what do you call it? Wendy drinking a Cosmo. Hmm. Very Manhattan, very Sex in the City, which leads
people
me
People still
to,
drink Cosmos?
Which leads me to my other exciting fan moment yesterday. Guess who I saw on the street in Manhattan? Best star sighting ever that you could have in Manhattan.
Who?
Sarah Jessica Parker.
I knew it was one of those three name chicks.
Exactly.
Wow.
I felt like I was in Sex and the City. Except I don't actually get any sex. Anyway, that's not the important thing.
And you don't own any Manolo Blahniks. You don't even know what a Manolo Blahnik is.
No, I can't afford those. Yeah. But anyway, it was a great dinner. And here's the exciting, you guys will laugh at this. There was a writer there at the dinner that's doing a story on me, and he actually fell asleep during the dinner. That's how fascinating my story is.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
However, I know. Wait, this is the most exciting moment, though, that happened yesterday. We have a fan in New York City.
You know, a fan?
We have one. Well, that's something.
Okay.
That's
smart.
No, I told you I'm staying in the Bonfire of the Vanities apartment.
Right.
The guy that owns a show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money, as we reviewed yesterday, married very well.
Right.
And I understand it's a $16 million apartment.
Wow.
Yeah.
A man with a compound in the suburbs married up.
Upper East Side, Park Avenue.
Wow.
Anyway, but here's the hilarious thing. The air conditioning wasn't working.
Ah. What?
And it's a little bit hot and humid in New York.
Yeah.
But here's the good news. The air conditioning repair guy came yesterday. Owen, big fan of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hooray!
Oh, ladies and gentlemen.
Shout out
thank you, Owen. Thank you, Owen, and thank you for the air.
He's a real man of the people, unlike Joe the plumber. He's exactly. Owen the air conditioning guy.
He will be our character now, Jim. Yes. Owen the air conditioning repair guy. He's an actual air conditioning repair guy. He's not a fictitious character like
Joe. He drinks
Joe.
Freon for breakfast.
Exactly. All right.
You can't really drink a gas, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Let's check some other news we don't want to lose, shall we? Here we go.
Yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here at Stays Broken, our top story, Sherry Johnson. Jeez, that's Levi's mother.
Johnston.
The mother of the teenager, former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin's Bristol planned on marrying, pled guilty Wednesday to a charge of possession with intent to deliver the prescription painkiller OxyContin.
Hmm.
Oh, Rush. No wonder you like Sarah Palin so much. In exchange for her plea, Sherry will likely serve a 5-year sentence with 2 years suspended. She will also get 3 years of probation. I believe we have Caribou Barbie's thoughts on this.
Oh, CNN, so Sherry. What are you doing up there? Looks like there might be some malfeasance going up there in your Brainerd. First, your no-good, lunk-headed son knocks up my daughter and ruins my co-presidential run by breaking off the engagement. Now you've been nabbed by the long harpoon of the law for dealing an OxyContin, also due in addition, moreover, supplementally. If not for that meat puppet Levi, I would be president right now. Not only could I see Greenland from my house, but I'd be able to score some OxyContin from Rush and gotten it back to ya, wink, wink. And you wouldn't be in the pickle you are in now, also, too, besides. What are you doing messing around with prescription meds when you could have gone to Wasilla, where crystal meth is just lying there on the ground like moose turds? The streets are paved with the stuff, which is good, because after I bankrupted the place, there's no budget for roads and sewers or any of that stuff like they have in commie socialist Stalinist hellholes like Sweden, which I can also see from my house. No siri bob in Wasilla. People pull themselves up by their own mucklucks, also, too. I'm going to hunt you down and shoot you through the lungs and field dress you while your heart's still beating. Start running, bitch, you betcha.
Oh, dear.
Oh, wow.
And finally, oh, dear God. Chris, is this from Newsmax? I'm guessing it's another screechy Dick Morris healthcare.
Why, yes, it is from Newsmax.
You can tell from it even has screechy print. The typeface is weird. And there's all these little triangles with question marks in them.
Ugh. Yeah, they just don't know how to do HTML coding over at Newsmax.
Could I have my scary music, please? Sure. Dick Morris, GOP must mobilize the elderly against Obamacare. Author and political analyst Dick Morris says President Obama is trying to bluff Republicans into supporting a health care plan that will be far more radical than he's letting on. If he's successful in establishing national health care, Dick writes, it'll only be the first step in transforming the United States into something resembling a European welfare state. I'm doing Jim's impression of Dick Morris now. Morris, author of Catastrophe, a book that examines the dismal record of socialized medicine. The GOP should target their message toward the elderly who will see their health care erode as more illegal immigrants are taken into national health care. Which is completely untrue anyway, by the way. Okay, we have the rest of his screen.
Better call 911 preemptively because I could pass out doing Dick Morris.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is absolutely critical that the GOP not fall for this ruse. The Kenyan commie Nazi Muslim socialist is trying to bluff Republicans into voting for a so-called health care plan that is far more radical than he's letting on. When the so-called president tells you he wants a public option to drive down costs or not, it's not really essential. It's just a tiny sliver of the whole vague, undefined gestalt of the whole health care-ish wonk fest of vagueness. What he's really saying is that he wants stormtroopers to break down your door in the middle of the night, shoot grandma in the back of the head with a Luger, and send the rest of the family to commie Nazi Stalinist Muslim acorn re-education camp so at least forced to eat tofu and macrobiotic rice, drive Priuses, and memorize the collected works of Gloria Steinem. The men will wear tutus, the women will become lesbians, and the kids will become gender-neutral transsexual freaks. I outline in this in my book, Catastrophe, how socialized medicine killed everybody in the nanny state countries like France, Sweden, and Canada. Literally everybody in these countries is dead. You could go up to Canada and get all the poutine and labats you want, because nobody of them, they're all dead. They've been murdered by socialized medicine, starting with the prostitutes. You literally can't get toenails. Your toenails sucked on by for any amount of money. Okay, the title needs some work. And I need an oxygen check. I can't breathe. Is there a doctor in the house? And of course, not because Obamacare killed all the doctors.
Wow. Oh, I think he dropped through several floors there.
That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends. If you'd like more Jim Ward, Paul DeRall.
Jim Ward's apocryphal but true. There's a Thai lad at stephaniemiller.com. Go there. Buy the album, why don't you? Thank
you. Can I hear Dick Morris fall again?
Jim, can you
I'll do the lead-in.
Yes.
Okay, I need an oxygen check. I can't breathe. Is there a doctor in the house? Of course not, because the mother can't kill all the doctors. Socialized medicine, sometimes cutting Nazi acorns.
Okay, thank you. I'm happy now. 21 minutes after the hour.
And I have a headache.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jim. 21, it was worth it. Ah, 21 minutes after the hour. Oh, back with the what the president had to say on the healthcare fight yesterday as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God! That's like my favorite show ever!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, live from New York City, 26 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, we were talking about Dick Morris's latest screechy
yes.
rant, including the whole Obama's going to take your health care from the elderly and give it to illegal immigrants, which happens to be completely untrue, as the president had to explain again yesterday.
None of the bills that have been voted on in Congress and none of the proposals coming out of the White House propose giving coverage to illegal immigrants. None of them. That has never been on the table. Nobody has discussed it. So everybody who's listening out there, when you start hearing that somehow this is all designed to provide health insurance to illegal immigrants, that is simply not true.
What? Jim, didn't a nice old man in the commercial tell us that he's going to take our health care and give abortions for illegal immigrants?
Gotta get in my operation because illegal alien space monster lesbians are gonna have gay abortions on my dime!
Jim, wouldn't you like to be in the waiting room with that casting call? I would like crotchety.
No, you're not crazy enough.
Crotchety old man actor, please.
Crotchety? You're crotchety, but not crazy enough. Here, have a hit of this.
All right. The president
crotchety
again.
Crotchety old man on acid.
That's yes. Right. Take this tab.
Yes. The president again yesterday.
I would love to have more Republicans engaged and involved in this process. I think early on a decision was made by the Republican leadership that said, look, let's not give him a victory, and maybe we can have a replay of 1993-94 when Clinton came in. He failed on health care, and then we won in the midterm elections, and we got the majority.
Yeah, you want to work with Republicans like Schmuck Astley? Jim pointed out, so first of all, you're supposed to be the bipartisan negotiator, and you go on Fox News to talk about
yeah.
it? And then this is where, as Jim mentioned earlier, he said that the administration should be focusing on getting 80 votes.
Uh-huh.
What? What did the Senate? Did he 80? Just try to change the Senate rules overnight?
I meant 120. No, oh. No, 2,000 votes. They need
okay.
A million votes to get.
Mm-hmm. 28 minutes after the hour, back with Representative Allison Schwartz of the Great Commonwealth of
yes.
Pennsylvania on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Hey.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Musical guest, Bananarama.
No, they won't be here. But John Fugelsang will. Oh. Live at hour number 3 in studio with Mama in New York. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Is it me or does sometimes the debate get more confusing about where the president is on a public option? He was on Michael Smirkanish's radio show
yes.
yesterday. Ed Schultz maybe not too happy about that. However, we're trying to make sense of what we played. I mean, that seemed the most. It seems like Nancy Pelosi is the one that's drawn a line in the sand. She said yesterday, "There is no way I can pass a bill in the House of Representatives without a public option." So, if only there was someone we know and trust in the House of Representatives. Why, who is it, Jim?
From the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, it's Allison Schwartz.
Whoa, one of our personal favorites. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm right next door to you now. I can see you from my house.
It feels that way, right?
I can see Pennsylvania from my house. Congresswoman, what... to me, that seemed like the only line in the sand we've heard recently. Am I correct in that? The Nancy Pelosi saying yesterday, period, end of sentence.
Well, Speaker Pelosi was very clear, and she certainly has been with members of the caucus as we've talked with her about, you know, really the importance of the public option. Now, the president has also said he continues to believe that the public option is important in the health care reform bill because it will provide that option for Americans and hold the private insurers more accountable to really doing the right thing, particularly for individuals and small businesses. So. We don't really know what's going to happen in the Senate. Obviously, that's really unclear at this point. But we're pretty clear in the House that we have made a number of modifications for the way these options would work, private and public, together in a more level playing field. But we want a public option. And we think I think it's going to be a part of the, and I believe, and I'm working hard to make sure that it is a part of the House bill.
Congresswoman, Chris, I'm going to call an audible here. Give us cut three. Explain the belt and suspenders thing on the public plan to me, Congresswoman. Take a listen to this.
This is sort of like the belt and suspenders concept, to keep up your pants. You know, the insurance reforms are the belt. The public option can be the suspenders.
What?
Huh? I speak for many of us, Congresswoman, when I say, huh?
I'm not so good at those analogies, I have to say. I tend to sort of be pretty straightforward to try and explain it. But
I wish we could just stop making analogies of any kind on healthcare because they're just more confusing than the original concept.
Well, and, you know, really, as you know, we have been working hard to try and explain to the American people what this is, you know, and what we plan to do. And the fact that we've worked very hard to create what is a very moderate, I think, you know, very middle-of-the-road kind of plan, which builds on what works, will not be dramatically disruptive in the way healthcare works in this country, but will add strong consumer protections, new options for the American people, and a way for every American to be able to buy meaningful coverage. And,
right. Congresswoman,
I'm happy to explain in more detail how the public option would work, but it would be side by side with private insurance products. And individuals and small businesses, who would be the only ones open to being able to buy into this exchange, at least for the first 5 to 8 years, would really have some options. And we believe that the public option will help keep premiums down for
right.
the American people, and that's important.
Right. I mean, what the president said yesterday as well is he was on a radio show, and he said of Kathleen Sebelius, she didn't really misspeak. The surprising thing is she's been saying this all along. She said the same thing a month ago. We think that it's a good idea, but we haven't said that's the only aspect of health insurance. Well, I would agree it's not the only aspect. It clearly is something that many, many of us feel, including you and I, that it's a really, really important aspect of the health care bill, correct?
I believe it is, too. I think what is correct about what Secretary Sebelius said is in the whole bill we're looking at, again, really strong consumer protections, you know, no pre-existing condition exclusions, no allowance for insurance companies to go and look for something in the background of your health records to suggest that they could deny coverage for a disease, no lifetime limits on certain diseases. We know people with cancer who reach lifetime limits. You know, the health status, you can't charge more for people with certain health status. You can't charge differently by gender, you know, and broadband differences for age. Those are very important to Americans who have insurance,
absolutely.
Americans who are trying to buy insurance. And so that in and of itself is very important. And, I do believe that is absolutely true whether we have a public option or not. Now, again, mm-hmm. we believe that we want to make sure that because in so many markets across this country, there are really just one dominant insurer, maybe a second one, but you need to have some competition, and you need to be able to say, I have some choices, and the public option assures that there will be choices for America.
Well, Congresswoman Schwartz, one thing maybe I need to explain to me, part of what the president said yesterday is, what he wants in a bill is one of the things is creates an insurance exchange where consumers can shop for affordable assurance. I've heard in recent days Joe Klein and Jonathan Alter, I don't know if you've seen them, explaining why the exchanges are the thing that are going to help the most, that are more important than a public option. Can you explain what that means?
Well, again, I'm building on what I just said about the fact that there are new rules. Now, some of those rules are going to apply whether you're in the exchange or not. So if you're, you know, a business buying insurance or you're a small company buying insurance. But the point they're making, and which is, again, also correct, is that because these new rules will apply to the private insurers, mm-hmm. in the exchange, as well as outside, but in the exchange. And in that exchange, you're going to have a set benefits package, you know, three of them, actually. You know,
but what is it? What does that mean? What is an insurance exchange? Can you just define that term for us?
Yeah, I can. And the issue, one of the many issues we're trying to deal with here, of course, is to make insurance meaningful for people who buy it and have it already, and then you can take wherever you go. But the hardest the group to insure, and the private insurance companies have done a poor job on this, is small businesses under 5, under 10, under 25 employees,
right.
And individuals. So when they go and try and buy insurance by themselves, and again, you're not spreading the risk broadly to hundreds of thousands of people. You're going by yourself. So you have a health condition, they're going to charge you more.
Right.
You're 50, they're going to charge you more. You know
right.
I mean? Over 50.
You may not know this, but the Stephanie Miller Show, a very small business. And you wouldn't believe what it cost me to insure these people, and they're nearly useless to me in the first place.
Stop it.
I mean,
and I will
really
say,
nice
on a serious note, could be. On a serious note, one of them gets sick, your rates are going to go up like crazy
yeah.
this year.
Because they know if they get sick, they're fired. Oh, I kid. Gosh,
we do have
I kid.
Some laws about that, I think.
But, yes, we do, Stephanie.
Oh, you mean I shouldn't have said that on tape? Oh, well.
But I think the idea here then is to be able to say you're not on your own anymore. You're going to be
right.
able to get certain protections, and this is what government can do, is to say we're setting up new rules. You're going to be able to go either online or to a physical office where you can say here are the options, and any private insurer wants to say I want to offer an insurance product that meets these requirements. These are the benefits. I'm going to beat the rules. And you're going to be able to say, okay, here are the options in my community for me to be able to buy. And no, of course,
right.
we're not going to set the rates. The private insurance companies, that the insurance commissioners or secretaries in each state will approve those rates. So the premiums that they charge will not be something we set. That's going to be market-based. But then, you know, if you're in a community that has Blue Cross, Blue Shield, has Aetna, has Cigna, has United, has WellPoint, I mean, they may all choose to offer an option. But if you're in and so there will be also a public option as part
mm-hmm.
of that
mm-hmm.
mix.
Congresswoman,
so,
what's your sense?
That's what the exchange is all about.
What's your sense of where we are now and where we're going next with this? I know there's been reports in the last couple of days that we may split the bills, we may use reconciliation, we may not, we may I've even heard forcing cloture, I guess, and so the Republicans have to filibuster. I mean, did you get a sense of what's actually going to happen next?
Well, it's obviously being discussed, and I think to some extent for most Americans, the procedures that we use, how we get bills to the floor, actually we've had constituents call and we've sent them a little brochure we have that says how does the bill get passed. I mean, it's pretty, sometimes it's a pretty complicated process by which we do this, and certainly the rules in the House are different than the Senate. You know, so we don't know exactly of the procedure we're going to move through here, but I think what's important to your listeners and important to the American people is that we're going to move ahead because it is simply unacceptable and unsustainable for millions of Americans to be uninsured and underinsured.
And it's difficult when Senator Grassley keeps changing the Senate rules. Did you hear yesterday, apparently we need to get 80 votes now?
Yeah, well, the president's been very, very clear about this. He would like this to be a bipartisan effort, and they've been working very hard in the Senate to bring in the Republicans. But what's become clearer over the last few weeks is that regardless of the changes that we make in the mm-hmm. the legislation, for most Republican members of Congress, and certainly for most in the Senate, they're not going to vote for anything.
Yep. Well, no, I was going to say, please tell the president I would like to marry Keith Olbermann, but that's not going to happen either.
So we don't want to stay. We would like Republican cooperation. We've certainly
yes.
made a whole number of accommodations. But the fact is that both for the federal government, for businesses and their economic competitiveness, and for families across America, we've been talking about this for decades. We've been working on the details
yeah.
for months and months. We want to move ahead and find a way to, again, contain costs for all of those different groups, government and business and families, and we want to be able to find you know, that uniquely American way to make sure that Americans have access to meaningful coverage.
Yep, absolutely. Well, thanks for, as always, for fighting the good fight for us and taking time to explain things to us. We appreciate it, Representative.
Absolutely. All right, good to be with you.
There she goes.
Yay!
Representative Allison Schwartz of the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
I like her a lot.
You know why she came on the show as our Joe Sestak and Bernie Sanders, Chris?
Why?
Because I was described in Politico yesterday as a the liberal base and their powerful talk show host allies.
That's right. You're powerful.
Okay, they didn't mention my name, but they meant me.
Sure they did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, you
Stephanie
Jim,
who?
They do not want to anger their powerful talk show host allies.
Yeah, Jim Vandehei is like, Stephanie who? What?
44 minutes after the hour. Right back with more on healthcare as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh my God, that's like my favorite show ever.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Live from New York City, 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. I think if we know anything in the healthcare debate, it is that Sue in Rockville, Maryland, is a scamp. She posts comments on Dick Morris's website. Good morning, Sue.
Hey, good morning. Enjoy your time in New York. I miss my hometown. Listen, yeah, it's really
New York
satisfying.
Is awesome. I had the most awesome bagel this morning.
Oh, don't make me feel bad. listen, it is very, very satisfying to post comments on his, you can go right to dickmorris.com, but I want to just alert people, since the photograph that they use, his picture's a good 60 or 70 pounds ago. It's sort of like a reverse Dorian Gray. His picture stays young and he gets uglier and uglier. So it is his website and it's really fun. I've told him I'm concerned about his congestive heart failure because you can hear his breathing. He really needs to take better care of himself. I ask him if he eats with that mouth.
Quite a bit, apparently.
Yes.
Yes. All right, Sue. Thank you. I'd
think prostitute toenails would be that high in calories.
No.
It's a lot of fiber, actually. And
exactly. Good roughage.
Yeah.
Alan keeps
them regular.
Alan in Carrboro went to Obama's town hall. Hey, Alan.
Hey, Stephanie. I can't top that, but I was at the town hall yesterday, sitting right in the front row, a few feet from the president, when he unequivocally said he supports the public option. It is a critical part of his program, and he's going to fight for it.
Yeah, well, okay, good. But, you know,
well,
fight
yeah,
for it, to me also, Alan, means that might not. You know what I'm saying?
No. He spoke for an hour to 70 of us in the room that are active volunteers, and they said a couple hundred thousand people on the web, and he was really clear. He was clear.
Did he mention anything because he was scared of his powerful talk show host allies?
Oh.
No.
You know,
was I mentioned by name?
So
no.
He's so beautiful that if you get close to him, you know, you'll be out of control. I have no doubt.
Oh,
but
God.
He really is. He was very clear. And you know, many
wait, did you say he's so beautiful,
with,
I'll be out of control if I get close to him? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah. He is. You know what? Can I share a thought with you, Alan?
Sure.
I can't believe I had the other day. Is I was watching him on something, and I did actually. The thought popped in my head. I would like to see him naked. Is that awful?
Stephanie Louise Miller.
I know. Isn't that awful?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you for calling.
Oh, God.
I can't believe I just said that, but I literally, and you know, have you ever caught yourself thinking something and totally inappropriate in your thought bubble?
Oh okay. No, never.
Who, me?
Yes,
Jim. All the time.
Squeezy has a hard time getting anything appropriate in his thought bubble.
Not much room left in there for appropriate things.
Can I hear the belt and suspenders thing again on the public option? Because
that's what you made me think
somewhat
about.
Less
yeah,
clear.
He wanted to take away his belt and his suspenders.
Yeah,
this is sort of like the belt and suspenders concept.
Okay.
To keep up your pants.
Okay.
You know, if you, the insurance reforms are the belt. The public option can be the suspenders.
Huh?
So that's what holds up the whole, so you got to have the suspenders, right?
Well,
call you, get Larry King on the phone.
No, you either need a belt or suspenders.
According to GQ.
Yes, you really shouldn't wear both at the same time. That's a fashion faux pas.
Uh-oh. Someone better tell my friend Larry King.
Oh, does he wear a belt and suspenders?
I'm not
sometimes
looking
I don't
at Larry's
wear pants.
Waist.
Just the braces.
Yeah, I'll bet you he'd never
call them braces in England.
I bet you he doesn't wear pants sometimes.
That is not true.
And behind the desk, who's going to know?
I will, because I'm there with him. Oh, I see.
Well,
okay,
not
so
anymore.
See, that's less comforting on the public option, isn't it? That means you don't need both of them. That's my point. But that's not...
Yes,
Alan says he was unequivocal, but he's been sounding kind of quivocal.
Yeah.
Is that a
word?
Equivocal.
Well, it is now. I know exactly what
equivocal.
You meant.
Yes.
Well, you know, here, I'm joking about this political story, but... I was with my other powerful talk show host ally, Ed Schultz, yesterday on MSNBC, and I think they mean Ed. But they were saying Obama's in recent days, Obama's own liberal base and their powerful talk show host allies have opened a new front by attempting to define health care reform as the creation of a government-run insurance program without a so-called public option. It's not real reform, they argue. Excuse me, is that a new front, or is that what we've been saying all along? And by the way, is it because that's what he was saying all along? What do you mean we're opening a new front? It's like it's because he has consistently said it's not reform without a public option, right?
It's kind of been all over the place. And that unfortunately, they've let the Republicans define the terms of the debate. And they, you know, they come back with sort of wonkish, bloodless sort of what is gobbledygook to a lot of people who haven't been paying close attention to this. And the Republicans have these very emotional hits. They're going to kill grandma and whatever nonsense they can throw up against the wall. And that always works better than intellectual argument.
Yes, well, here's the president again on Republican support yesterday.
We don't know yet whether we've got any Republican support. There's going to have to be a conclusion that either they can get a bill done or they can't get a bill done.
Well, we had some call yesterday that said, why don't we just have emotional appeals from real people who have been hurt by the health care the way it is now?
They've been trying that a little bit, but not nearly enough.
Yeah, I mean,
we've had so many of them on our show.
You could have hundreds of them on every
because we probably have the decency to think that might be exploitative. And
well, that's what we need right now.
We need some exploitation.
Yes. We keep censoring ourselves. Oh, that would be improper. We can't do that. Yes, we have to do that. That's exactly what we have to do.
Yeah.
And it's not like we're making it up. Well, like the,
they're going to, I have report here, alien abortions, gay, French, I can't get my operation, communism.
You know, that crap.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. That's the thing. I mean, either he's playing, again, the best game of chess ever, and he really doesn't know if he's going to have Republican support, or, you know, it might be that scene in Braveheart, you know, the hold. I don't know where we're at exactly with this, but Chuck Grassley seems to be pretty clear. It's like, you're right, they're trying to, you know, put this bipartisan sort of sheen on it that's just complete crap.
Well,
First of all, you go on Fox to talk about how bipartisan you want to be, right? So Chuck Grassley said he hasn't given up yet, but then he went on to lay out some conditions for his support that make a bipartisan bill seem completely impossible, as
and
he criticized.
Now they're demanding 80 votes. You're going to need a million votes to pass this.
Yeah. On Fox, Grassley said he told Obama face-to-face the administration needs to drop the public option plan and that the bill needs to more than just token Republican support.
Well,
it's like, what do you mean? Who are you? I'm telling the president.
Yeah.
Screw you.
Yeah.
You're in the minority.
Yeah.
Quit.
Yeah. So anyway, he said, they should be focusing on getting 80 votes. Oh, okay. Thank you, Schmuck.
Schmuck God. Astley.
Schmuck Astley.
Trademark.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Any relation to Rick Astley?
We've all been right. Schmuck rolled.
Yeah.
Holly in Silver Spring, Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Holly.
Hi. I'm kind of frustrated with the media. They keep asking where the Obama people at. And yesterday at the town hall meeting that Alan was referring to, it was with Organizing for America, which I volunteer for. And we were right outside of the, the Democratic National Committee office there. And there was about 1,000 people from Organizing for America.
Yep. And you didn't see that on the TV. All right. Representative Joe Sestak of Pennsylvania next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show on the road, live from New York City, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere to join the party, stephaniemiller.com, that website, check it out. You can email us all there, executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Patriot Majority. Patriot Majority believes it is our patriotic duty as Americans to pass health care reform now with a strong public option. Wow, speaking of great patriots and people who have served their country, why, if only someone like that would call now. What? Why, who is it, Jim?
From the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, it's Representative Joe Sestak.
Are you sure you didn't mean Senator?
Soon to be Senator, we hope.
Oh, you read it wrong, perhaps. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thanks for having me again.
Thanks for coming on. I always make that mistake. I'm sorry. I don't know how that keeps popping into my head, Senator Joe Sestak.
Well, hopefully soon.
Me too. So, Congressman, you were the first one elected, I understand, to hold a town hall to address health care after the recess. You had like 1,000 people there. I hear you stayed 5 hours to answer questions.
I did. Well, actually, the very first one had 400 people. It was 10 a.m. on a Saturday morning after we got out on a Friday afternoon. And then I held another one, and you're right. It was 1,000 people, and we stayed until the last group left. And
wow.
Why not? This is so important. I'm actually on 7 TV or radio shows today. I just left a meeting at a pediatric hospital where we had a large group, and the TV came to talk about this bill and other issues.
Congressman, you know I love you, but here's a little tip for you. Don't tell a woman that you're going to cheat on her with other radio hosts in the same day.
Oh, my gosh,
I'm sorry.
No, he's getting his point out there, and that's great.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely no. I mean, that's exactly what we need to do is, you know, Congressman, I think that we haven't done necessarily the best job on our side explaining things. I mean, granted, we are dealing with, as I always say, a wall of lies on the other side. But I think that it really behooves us to do what you're doing, is answer every question.
Stephanie, if I could, thank you for saying that. When I went to the 67 counties throughout Pennsylvania in July, and I was meeting primarily with Democrats because I was introducing myself before I got in the race against Colin Spector, they had questions. Our meetings would always be 95% on health care. And although they weren't loud and boisterous, they wanted to know because government had let them down over the last 8 years of the Bush administration, and they want to make sure that we're going to get this right.
Well, and you know, obviously, as the highest-ranking veteran ever elected to Congress, you were talking to veterans, and you've had to be, you know, somebody that's also knocking down one of these lies, and that is that, you know, veterans' benefits are going to be affected. You know, you absolutely, the other day, we were quoted as saying nothing will change. See Section 202. It states explicitly that VA benefits and TRICARE will not change, right?
You are absolutely right. It says it. It says TRICARE for the active and TRICARE for the retired military doesn't change. And as far as Veterans Administration benefits, they say exactly the same. And in addition, President Obama, in this bill, is going to bring back in all the Priority 8 veterans, about 1 million of them, that President Bush pushed out of the VA system because they happened to earn just over $29,000 in 2003. He's even going to bring more people into the VA system who have served our country.
Well, I mean, you've spoken to these issues for a while about, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder, that we're not dealing with it adequately. You had a great quote. You said it's just like George Washington said, how well you take care of your veterans will determine how well we'll be able to recruit in the future. Which is, you know, another very practical aspect of all of this, beside it being just the right thing to do.
Correct. We have 32% of our National Guard's men and women coming home with post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, mind you, and I know I'm not on this, but the chairman of the Veterans Affairs Committee in 2003 and 4, which was our inspector, they actually voted in those following years against $2.5 billion for post-traumatic stress disorder. What? We have actually placed in the last 2 years close to $10 billion in appropriated money for the signature issue of this war. And if we don't address that issue, we are going to see an increase as of how many homeless are veterans. Right now, Stephanie, as you probably know, one out of every four homeless is a veteran, and the Iraqi and Afghanistan vets are showing up more quickly than the Korean or Vietnam vets on our homeless roll mm-hmm. as they come home in a very savage recession.
Yep. Well, Congressman, I think that part of this, too, is that, you know, you, like the president, like, you know, any of us on the Democratic side have had to just sort of combat one lie after another. I mean, you've had to, you know, shoot down the veterans benefit lie on health care from the Republican side. The president yesterday had to say, no, you know, there is nothing in the bills that gives your health insurance to illegal immigrants. No, there is nothing in the bill that, you know, that creates a death panel. Are we going to win this debate in the long term? What do you think is going to happen here?
We are, and we must win this debate, because every day 14,000 Americans lose their health care plan. That's like the city of Bethlehem 1 week. Everybody in it, in Pennsylvania, losing their health care plan. And the other thing that has to happen, Stephanie, is the public health care plan option. In Pennsylvania, two companies have over 60% of all private health care plans throughout the state. That's almost like a cartel. And while I want to get everybody covered by the mandate of the universal coverage in our House reform bill, if we want real reform, we need to get competition. And this public health care plan, which is subsidized by the co-pays and premiums of those that choose to join it, not by the government, but it doesn't pay $20 million to a CEO for their salary, or it's just happened, $70 million severance pay, gets us to lowering the premiums because of the competition.
Right.
That's reform.
Congressman, the thing I was most heartened by yesterday is it seems like Speaker Pelosi has finally drawn a line in the sand. She said, period, there is no way, you know, I can pass a bill in the House without a public option.
That's right. I think you're seeing that a lot more attention is coming to it. And I also believe this. Better explanations are coming to why the public health care option is good for the pocketbook of Americans and our economy. It's lowering the rise of the curve of the health care cost curve. This is so important. I'm hoping that the majority leader, Senator Reid of the Senate, will do what Ms. Pelosi just did. Speak
yep.
strongly of the need economically for our pocketbook of the public health care plan
yep.
option.
Yep. Congressman Sesak, let's talk about Afghanistan quickly before you go, because obviously they just had the elections. What is your take on what's our situation in Afghanistan? Because I know many people, myself included, sometimes I'm not clear what the goal still is in Afghanistan. I understand we got distracted by going into Iraq. We didn't get the guys that were actually behind 9/11. But what is the plan now, and how long is it going to go on?
The goal is the eradication of Al-Qaeda in Pakistan. And then, and this is important, I think, to keep in mind, it's about 30% of the Taliban that are really Al-Qaedaized and very radical. About 70% of the Taliban in Afghanistan, and we need to have an exit strategy of benchmarks, assess, and failures, but about 70% of the Taliban there are really there, according to several studies, because it gives them a living wage. We've had hundreds of thousands of Muslim men in Tajikistan who used to work in the oil fields of Russia. They've come home without a job in this recession. They're being attracted to a job. And so when people talk about Vietnam, we need to keep in mind that at most the Taliban numbers about 20,000, of which 70% are there for almost a job. We mm-hmm. can deal with that.
It's You've probably seen like the latest. You've probably seen the latest polling, Congressman, that the American people really largely have turned against this Afghanistan war. I think that, you know, again, I think it's tough to understand what the mission is and how long it's going to go on. I think that, you know, I think the Bush administration so bungled, you know,
yeah.
Afghanistan by going into Iraq that I think now, because when you even say that, well, they're in Pakistan, then my question is, then why are we in Afghanistan?
You've got it. And here's the issue. We're really, in my opinion, in Afghanistan as a base to finish the job of the Al-Qaeda, who can't be permitted to have a safe haven to plan against us another 9/11. But leaving Afghanistan, the president has to provide, and I voted with the Democrats, and it did, about 60 of them, it didn't get passed, of what's called, as you know, an exit strategy that says this is the benchmark for success and failure along the way. And here's what we're trying to do in Afghanistan. Afghanistan doesn't mean turn it into a nation-building project. It means just making sure that the worst Taliban, you know, about 30% of the 20,000 are taken care of, but we remove ourselves as we finish with Al-Qaeda in Pakistan. It's really a base. We don't have to leave behind a nation totally rebuilt. We need to leave behind a modicum of stability so Al-Qaeda cannot necessarily come back with ease. Okay. That's the objective, and we don't put out the benchmarks of how we're doing that, not really with our military in Afghanistan. It's having enough jobs and other issues available, not big-paying jobs, but the microloans, et cetera, of which we've now put $175 million to enhance a wonderful program there. And Stephanie, you're right. We aren't clearly laying it out well.
Yep. Well, that's, you know, that's what you're so good at. And Congressman, we always appreciate you taking time for us. And this was somewhat less than the 5 hours you answered questions at the town hall. Although many men tell me it seems like 5 hours talking to me for 5 minutes. thank you so much for taking time for us as always. Congressman Joe Sestak of the Great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Thank you, Congressman. All right. There he goes. It's a,
What?
5 hours he answered questions.
Good on him.
Wow. Wow, wow.
It's like a Fidel Castro speech.
Oh, Lord. All right. So we continue with the health care debate. The president, of course, yesterday was out speaking. Well, he was on my radio show, Michael Smirkanish, right? And then he was out speaking at his own town hall. A new poll says Americans concerned over the future of health care reform are losing faith in President Obama. The Washington Post ABC News survey found less than half of Americans, 49%, say they believe the president will make the right decisions for the country. That's down from 60% at the beginning of the presidency. The poll says his approval rating is 57%, which is still pretty good, which is a little weird.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. The first statistic doesn't seem to jive with the second one. But
Well, that's only part of it. The whole picture. I mean, they have kind of punted the health care thing in a way.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, just because someone was saying the other day that Obama's acting more like a senator than a president, and that he sort of went to Congress and said, you guys figure it out, instead of saying, these are my ground rules, I want this, 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 and this, get it done, and I'll sign it.
Right, it's the overlearning that the Clinton...
Exactly, it's a little overcompensated for the, the Clinton lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Which was don't try to cram something down their throats. Talk to Congress and you know. Just...
Right, right.
So
that being said, he may still be smarter than all of us put together.
That's
in this
true.
Man, fine.
Chill out. He's got this.
I got this.
I used my Somali pirate thing on the Ed Schultz show yesterday on MSNBC.
Did you mention Astroglide on the Ed Schultz show?
No, I did not. I said that I hope that this will end for Senator Grassley. It'll be like the Somali pirate crisis in a political sense. That he'll think we're negotiating with him and everything's going fine, and then we'll be like, oh, okay, thanks for coming. All right. Okay, that didn't end well for you. All right. Yes. Oh, we understand your concerns. Uh-huh. Yes. Well, we want this to end peacefully, too. All right. Bing. All right. In a political sense.
Right,
yeah,
right.
I don't
not
think
in
we
a,
should be joking about
not in a literal sense.
That's people
awful.
Showing up to meetings.
Stephanie, I can't believe you played that sound effect.
Armed.
Oh, Chris Lavoie. If only I had my box with me.
No, I think you're the only one who knows how to work your box.
Boy, howdy. 20 minutes after the
hour. Maybe Sarah Jessica Parker can help you with that.
20 minutes after the hour. All right. Back with the latest on the healthcare debate, including today's right-wing spin as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Whoa! Awesome! Totally awesome! All right!
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, I'll say. It is the...
Yeah, you have.
Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I am. I'm staying in the apartment from Bonfires of the Vanities. I still haven't touched anything. I'm too scared. Yeah, the guy who owns the radio show who's trying to kill me for the life insurance money.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, married very, very well. His
he married up.
His apartment is, wow.
Does it have wings, you know, like the east wing and the west wing? And
yeah, it's very, it could be described as cavernous, I would say.
Does it have servants' quarters?
Who knows? No,
you're probably staying in the servants' quarters.
I probably am. I am the servant, technically. I gotta go early today. I gotta do laundry. All right. 25 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Susan in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello, Suze.
I just like to let you know that I know. I hope a lot of people remember Representative David Scott, who had his office painted up with swastikas on his office.
Yep.
Tomorrow, OSA is having a pro-healthcare reform rally at his office in Smyrna, Georgia. And I'd like to see everybody from OSA that lives in this area get out and support healthcare, because we're doing this every day. And as far as those healthcare,
yeah, how about some pictures of not a bunch of haters and screamers, but people
exactly.
that are actually
exactly.
sane and for healthcare reform.
Exactly. I've already emailed and called CNN. They were more than willing to come out and cover the hate garbage. We want them out there tomorrow to cover the real people.
Thank you, Susan. And they will listen to me, because I am a powerful talk show ally of the White House. Tom in Pennsylvania. Shut up. Tom in Pennsylvania. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Tom.
Hey,
hello, Tom.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Yeah, listen, I'm right off the bat, I'm a conservative. I actually listen to your radio show, but I just want to kind of put that up front.
Okay.
You know,
I've been warned.
Well, yeah, you've been warned. Well, actually, I won't be too bad. But you know, my issue is this. I mean, you know, if everybody really wants to get healthcare reform, which, believe it or not, I actually do.
You do.
The garbage that you guys, you know, spew on the radio, as well as the other side, TV shows, Fox,
which, define the aforementioned garbage. What am I spewing?
I'll give you an example. All right, perfect example is the anti-American talk about these town hall people.
Anti-American? How is it anti-American?
Well, what I'm saying is the anti-people saying that, if you just let me finish my sentence, okay?
You can't lob a bomb that without explaining it.
Well, I'm trying to, if you just slow down and listen.
Can I finish?
Okay.
Let me finish.
All right, yeah, just let me finish. All I'm saying is both sides do this.
You didn't answer our question. How is it un-American?
I am trying to answer your question.
No, you're going on.
All right, just
let the man speak. Go ahead.
Let the man speak, because I'm not what you think I'm going to be here. So, all right, this is the deal. You have a lot of people at the town halls who are good Americans. I would say 95% of them are probably good Americans. I've been at a couple of the town hall meetings. Nobody's screaming and yelling. You know, and the conservative movement will do the same thing when it comes to anti-war protest or
right. Well, you and I agree on that. I think the media tends to publicize the few, you know, the screamers, and I don't think that they're representative of every meeting that's going on. Clearly.
Yeah, I mean, look at David Letterman last night, calling him Al-Qaeda or something like that. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, there are a lot of people there that have been sent by right-wing groups and told to disrupt the meetings. I have it in writing.
Yeah.
I mean, I have it right here in front of me.
No, you don't.
They are told to scream and disrupt the meetings. So those are the people we're talking about.
Not
you. 28 minutes after the hour. I think that what was clear there is he loves me and not you too.
Yeah, yeah.
Right back with Bernie. Bernie Sanders next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'd always been told that New York was the 21st century city of Sodom. And look what's happened. I've become one of them. I've been sodomized.
Don't I wish. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, live from New York City. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. I know the fight is getting exhausting for health care reform and trying to figure out what is going on. If only there were one man that I trust. Yes, who is it, Jim?
From the great state of Vermont, it's Senator Bernie Sanders.
Oh, thank God. Good morning, Senator.
Morning, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm great. It's always so great to talk to you. You know, I get all excited about healthcare, and then I see you on MSNBC, and I calm down. And then I get re-excited all over again. Senator, tell us, you know, I feel a little confused by what some of the things the president has said in the last couple of days. Can you explain to me? Because it seemed like, once again, he was saying the public option, it's described in this one news report as a small and optional part of his overall initiative.
Well, I think, unfortunately, from the White House, we have seen some confusing messages. But I've been pleased that in the last couple of days, the president has reiterated what he said in the campaign and what he has said throughout, that a public option must be a part of any health care reform legislation. And the reason for that, Stephanie, is not just that you're giving the American people a choice as to whether or not they want private insurance or a public option. More importantly, it is the only strong cost containment component of the health care legislation that we're now bringing forth. As I think many listeners know, the cost of health care is soaring. If we do not get a handle on health care costs, they'll be doubling. They'll be doubling in the next 8 years, which is basically unsustainable for individuals and for the nation. What the public option does is it keeps the private insurance companies honest. They simply can't raise their rates as high as they want in their pursuit of profits. And well, what it says, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, you made a great comment yesterday about, as you were just saying, I think, about the cost. You said, if we don't get a handle on soaring health care costs, whatever you're paying today or whatever your employer is paying today will likely be doubled in 10 years, right. And millions of Americans will be paying 50% of their income on health care. That can't happen. The country cannot survive economically, and millions of Americans will not make it economically if we don't deal with this.
Stephanie, you can't imagine that working people or small businesses are going to be paying 50% of their income. It's just not going to happen. And the other point that we have to understand, which is not widely discussed, is in our country today, our problem is not that we're not spending enough money. We're spending a whole lot of money. We are spending almost twice as much per person on health care as any other country, all of whom, any other industrialized country, all of whom provide universal health care for their people.
Yep. So well, and I think I just, you know, I'm sure you know the study. I mean, I'm escaping the Landmark survey anyway, but of healthcare around the world, and we ranked dead last.
In terms, all of these things, every study shows something a little bit different, but in terms of things like infant mortality, we don't do well. In things like life expectancy, we're behind many other industrialized countries.
Right, and this one specifically focused. Senator, on waiting times, you know, this myth that the right wing has been telling about, we'll have these horrible waiting times. Many, many of those countries are way ahead of us in the amount of time it takes to see a doctor. You mentioned yesterday some 18,000 Americans die every single year because they get to the doctor too late.
This is according to the Institute of Medicine, and actually I think that's a conservative number. And I think we can all understand that. You have 60 million Americans who today do not have access to a doctor on a regular basis. They don't have a medical home of their own. Now, what happens when those people get sick and they don't have a lot of money? They delay going to the doctor. They think it's going to get better. And by the time sometimes when they walk into the doctor's office, months and months after they should have, there are doctors who say, I'm sorry, it's too late now. And we lose about 18,000 people a year. So,
and you know who does much better than us, contrary to what the right-wing fearmongers every day on Fox News and elsewhere? You know, they're ahead of us in Britain and Germany and New Zealand and all of these places that have, I guess what they would call socialized medicine, right?
Well, they have variations. The British system is socialized. The Canadian system is a single payer. But we are very, very weak, and I don't think anyone denies this, in terms of primary health care. And that is the ability for people to get to a doctor when they need to get to the doctor in an affordable way. And even people who have health insurance, many of them have large deductibles and large copayments, and that keeps them from going into the doctor's office. And then on top of that, you got about 1 million people this year alone who are going to go bankrupt because of medically related bills. So for me to hear people say, well, we don't need to do anything. Let the status quo continue. Let private insurance companies throw people off of health care because of pre-existing conditions or because they ran up a big bill in the previous year. That just makes zero sense to me. It's not good for individuals and certainly not good for our country.
I understand you had a town hall meeting recently in which there were no Nazi analogies, swastikas, or yelling. From watching television, you wouldn't think that's possible, would you?
Well, we had, you know, in Vermont, we do a lot of town meetings. Since I've been in Congress, I've done well over 300 of them. And people, by and large, are civil. They are passionate. They believe what they believe. They do not see the function of a town meeting as to drown out the opposition or start booing and hissing. And we had just very large turnouts in two town meetings. A majority of the people were for health care reform. A minority, in some cases, asked pretty intelligent questions, and we had a civil discussion.
Wow, imagine that. Now, the other news from yesterday is, I guess, the Gang of Six senators had a conference call. Senator Baucus said the group had a productive conversation. They remain committed to continuing our path toward bipartisan health care reform bill. That's what I'm afraid of. What about you?
Well, that's the same press release that Senator Baucus has been sending out for about 4 months now.
Yes.
They just pressed send.
Yeah.
It's the same exact word. I have not been pleased with that whole approach. You have three committees in the House that have passed the health care reform. I'm on the Senate Health Committee. We have passed a bill. And the Finance Committee just keeps talking and talking and talking. I think we have got to reach the stage where we understand there is not one Republican who wants to go forward in a serious way with health care reform to protect the needs of the American people.
Including Chuck Grassley, who just changed the Senate rules apparently yesterday. Did you hear that? He said that the president should be working toward getting 80 votes in
right,
the Senate.
I mean, it never ends. Every day there's something else. And you got to finally say that. I'm not happy to say that. Ideally, you would like bipartisan legislation. But after all of this time, when you have not one Republican who is prepared to come forward in support of strong health care reform, when time after time it is very clear that our Republican colleagues are using this health care debate for political purposes, and they seem to think that they're gaining on it. So why do you have to worry about soaring health care costs, people dying because they don't have health care, 46 million uninsured? You're gaining politically. Isn't that the point? Try to defeat President Obama. And I think that certainly is the feeling of the vast majority of the people in the Republican Party. So I think what you got is you got 60 people, and obviously in the Democratic caucus. Senator Kennedy is ill, we know that. But I think what we do is we stand tight and say no to Republican filibusters. We develop a strong piece of health care reform legislation which takes on the insurance companies, takes on the drug companies, provides universal health care, has a public option, focuses on prevention, focuses on primary health care, and you go forward and rally the American people to that cause.
Senator, well, I'm with you, Senator, but what is your prediction now, being in the thick of this? You know, are we going to have to get to reconciliation? Are the bills going to be split? There's been so many stories out in the last couple of days.
Well, it's hard to say. If we can stop the Republican filibuster, and that will require all people in the Democratic caucus to say no to Republican obstructionism. It will require an ill Senator Kennedy coming in to cast that vote, or it will require at least one Republican to join us, which is not an impossibility. If we do that, then we can go forward in a regular order, normal business in developing a strong health care program. If that does not work out, then you have to use the reconciliation method, which is much more complicated, but which can allow us to go forward in a number of areas. Let me just give you a couple of examples of things you could do tomorrow. Tomorrow, you can end pre-existing conditions done by the insurance companies. Tomorrow, you can allow the American people and the government to import FDA-approved medicines from Canada and other countries at a fraction of the price that the drug companies are now charging us. Tomorrow you can quadruple the number of federally qualified health centers, community health centers, all over this country so that every American will have access to primary health care. Tomorrow you can be much more aggressive in getting money out to the states for disease prevention, so that we don't just spend money treating chronic diseases, we do a much better job preventing them, et cetera, et cetera. So,
right. Senator, just answer for us that don't, understand the Senate, obviously, as you do. You know, I have heard it said that reconciliation is, going to, strip so many things out that it's going to be like Swiss cheese. And then I've heard other people say, no, they're overstating, that we still could get a lot done through reconciliation. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, Stephanie. The answer is, in fact, it's complicated stuff, and you got about three people in the parliamentarian's office helping us to decipher this. But I think it would be incorrect. It is not the preferred method of operation. What you prefer to do is have regular order, as we call it. Just go forward in legislative mode. But if you can't do that, can you chop this thing up in a number of ways so that you can pass this, that, and the other thing and have a significant impact on healthcare in America? I believe you can.
Okay. Well, that makes me feel better. Before you go, quickly, you mentioned Senator Kennedy, and I know you must, you know, feel the same as many of us do. That is such cruel irony that, you know, that could be the one vote, that his not being able to vote on something that's been his life's work is really tragic. I mean, do you think there is a chance that Massachusetts will do what he asked in his letter, and, you know, if that sadly comes to pass, that Massachusetts will be able to get two senators fairly quickly?
I don't know the answer to that, honestly, but obviously you're right. It is a tragic irony that a man who has been the leader in this country for three or four decades, trying to make sure that every person in this country has quality health care, is now so ill that he may not be able to return to the Senate to cast that important vote. So I think we all respect immensely the work that Senator Kennedy has done, and we wish him and his family the very best.
Yes, absolutely, all of us. Senator, we so appreciate you taking time to you have a way of explaining things that is really helpful in what's such an important issue, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Stephanie. Good to be with you.
All right, there you go. Senator Bernie
Yay!
Sanders. From the great state of Vermont, where they don't yell in town hall meetings.
Well, no.
It would be like yelling at Santa Claus. He's so kind and comforting. Thank God they have civility in Vermont. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, we have much more to go on the healthcare debate. And I see John Fugelsang, comedian extraordinaire, stalking around outside.
Is he so pacing back and forth?
He's pacing like a caged lion.
He's doing his routine in his head.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't want to blow the punchlines.
Big fun coming up as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Big place where dreams come true.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yes, I am Stephanie Miller. I am the healthcare warrior. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. As is our good friend, Representative Elliot Engel of the great state of New York, of which I am I'm a temporary constituent right now.
If Elliot Republicans Engel. Aren't going to want to cooperate, and if they don't want to work with us, then we may have to go it alone and pass it with just Democratic votes.
Yes, which is what Senator Sanders just told us, which made me feel better.
It made you feel squishy inside.
Mm-hmm. Representative Elliot Engel, yesterday once again.
We have to do a better job of selling what we're doing. We're not doing as good a job, frankly, as we should.
Oh, if only Schmuck Astley would chime in and tell us what bipartisanship really means.
Three Republicans and 58 Democrats don't make a bipartisan bill.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then why is he working on it?
Yeah, did you see Jim?
Step aside.
He became the Senate Rain Man yesterday as he explained that now the president needs 80 votes.
Definitely 80 votes. Definitely 180 million votes. Billion votes. A jillion votes.
Kathy in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the Town Halls. Hey, Kathy.
Hi. I'd like to give praise and accolades out to Congressman Debbie Halverson and Tim, her aide, from the 11th Congressional District here in Illinois. She held a telephone town hall meeting. She reached 10,000 constituents last night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m.
Wow.
And she took questions from seniors, and she dispelled all of these myths from the Republicans, you know, all that garbage.
Yeah, we got to. That's what we got to do, one by one. Thank you, Kathy. We got to take back this debate, mm-hmm. one question at a time, you know, one knocking down one lie at a time. Kevin in D.C. says, no way, no how, no GOP. Hi, Kevin.
Good morning. I saw you on Ed's show. This morning. I'm a little bit blurry-eyed. I didn't even know you were going to be on. But when he said, I heard coming from the screen, and now, radio host, the eyes popped open. So anyway, you definitely lived up to my lovely Stephanie appellation for you. But
thank you.
I got to say, it's a
well-established. I find they have much better lighting in the host studio
yes.
than in the little satellite places I normally am
well,
shoved
you,
into.
You don't need it, at least in my eyes. But, you know, it's a well-established fact that mom is usually always right. We all know that.
Yes,
but
thank you.
One of the few disagreements I've had with you is your willingness to deal with right-wing lunatics. But on Ed's show, you seem to agree that Obama needs to stop trying to negotiate with the Republican Congress.
Yeah,
you know, so are you
that
like...
That time is done, I think. I understand that. I mean, how much longer, I think, like Senator Sanders just said, how much longer can this go on? Ideally, you'd like a bipartisan bill, but if it's not clear by now, it's not going to happen. I don't know when it will be.
Yeah, and history's shown us, you know, a lot of the... Well, I wouldn't have the civil rights I do now if we had waited for... the lunatics at that time to get a clue. I mean,
that's right. You and I couldn't have gotten married as we planned.
That's right.
Absolutely.
All right. Goodbye, Kevin. There. See, now I hang up on him and leave him wanting more.
That's what you always do, Stephanie.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm just a big tease.
You are.
Okay. Fred Barnes on the Brett Baer Show on Obama's idea of bipartisanship.
His idea of compromise with Republicans is for Republicans to totally capitulate, and they're not going to do that.
Yeah. Why would they want to do that just because the vast majority of Americans? I think Ed Schultz quoted last night, 93% want health care reform.
Hmm.
All right. Charles Krauthammer, also on the Bripper.
Bripper.
When Democrats are addressing liberals, they say the public option, the co-ops really is a Trojan horse as a way to get a public option. And when addressing conservatives, they say, as Obama says, oh, it's only about creating competition. So it depends on the audience. The obvious answer is it is a Trojan horse. It is a way to introduce a public option, and it's not going to pass.
When are you guys going to figure out you're in the minority and people want this?
Yes.
Yeah.
But not in that little Fox News world.
Half the things they say, I'm like, well, if only.
Yeah.
Okay, if the co-ops, if only it was a gateway to a Trojan horse to single payer, okay. All right. Mike in Iowa, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Mike.
Yes.
Or not.
There he is.
I want to...
Yes, Mike.
Am I okay now?
Yes.
Okay, 3 points that the liberals continue to bypass. The president out and out lies. You can keep your own insurance. House file 3200.
Excuse me, how is the president lying on that?
All right, page 145. Line
hang on a
15.
Second. Let me turn my hymnal. Okay.
Don't joke about this.
Oh.
This is why Grassley, this is why the Republicans are saying, look it, you don't want to talk about this. Page 145, line 15 through 17, mm-hmm. requires all employers to enroll all new employees in the government system. Page 16, any change to a personal insurance plan, adding or subtracting a dependent, you are mandated to go into the government plan.
You are not mandated in any of the resolutions that are forward, despite the fact that you're very cleverly quoting page numbers. Nothing requires you. It is not mandated. It is a public option. If you like what you have now, you can keep it. The president
Until
is not lying about that.
Steph, it says it right there in page 16. Mm-hmm.
But that's only if you choose the public option, Mike.
No.
Yes.
Say requires all employers to enroll all new employees in government system? If
no.
I'm a new employee, I want to keep my health care. No, I have to go into the government system.
No, you don't.
And it's not a government system. All right.
Where did you get that bill, Mike? Did you get it off of Newsmax?
No, this is...
Is it, you know, I didn't realize that the Republic has a print
Stephanie.
Option.
This is the Beavis and Butthead show.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Well,
no.
Thanks for calling.
He found it on the internet, so it must
be
true.
Oh, so it must be true.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Here, right here in page 142B, uh-huh. it says, we're going to kill grandma uh-huh. and put everyone else in a gulag. It's right there.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And also, he was probably just reading off of one of the many bills that are going through the House and Senate.
Yeah,
and
so
if that is
have...
in that particular one,
it's not going to be in the final.
It's not going to be in the final. Can guarantee you that.
All right. Glenn in Canada, real quick. Let's hear about the awful health care there.
That Stalinist hellhole.
Hello, Glenn.
Good morning, all.
Hello, quickly.
The health care up here has never let me down. I'm nearly 60. But you have to take responsibility for your own health. You have to. Smoking apparently is not good for you, so you should quit. Try not to be overweight and get a little exercise. And also, Steph, one thing, where's Conspiracy Corner these days, Jim?
That's just a coincidence that that's gone.
I'm overwhelmed by the right-wing conspiracies these
57
days.
57 minutes after the hour, John Fugelsang is next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, live from New York City, 6 minutes after the hour. Happy Friday. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere to join the party. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there, executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Patriot Majority. Patriot Majority believes it's our patriotic duty as Americans to pass health care reform now with a strong public option. Thank you. The best news I've heard in a while is Speaker Pelosi drawing a line in the sand yesterday.
Wait, there's no way I can pass a bill in the House of Representatives without a public option.
Woot, woot.
Exactly. Michael Steele, the useless Republican chairman, on the Hannity show yesterday. I smell a dare when I hear one.
You've got the votes. You've got 60 seats in the Senate. You've got a 78-seat majority in the House.
Check.
Why all the machinations and skullduggery? Just do it.
What
the president wants. Put it on the table and then come back home to places like Arkansas, where I am tonight, and explain to the people why you ignored their wishes.
Skullduggery.
Ooh, it's skullduggery we're doing now.
By actually passing a bill because we have more votes.
Yes.
Yeah.
How is that legal?
All right, and our good friend Sean
Hannity. That's just how he rolls. Yo.
Yo. Sean Hannity, our good friend, on the Obama having the audacity to have a conference call with religious people.
The president on this conference call with a number of religious leaders had some very harsh language, and he used a lot of religious terms. He talked about those of us that oppose Obamacare as, quote, bearing false witness, urging them to speak the truth. He said, I am my brother's keeper. I am my sister's keeper. He said this is a core ethical and moral obligation.
Yes.
So if the president views it in those moral terms, in that moral light, and he thinks he's that morally superior in his views, it tells me he won't stop at anything to get this done.
He'll stop at nothing.
There may actually be things that Jesus would do in this bill. What?
Action, get people to vote for the bill so it passes and he can sign it. How dare he?
Who's he talking about bearing false witness?
Have you
which
no
I love.
Decency
Wait,
at
Chris,
long last.
You have to play the next soundbite, because right after he said, how dare he say anyone's bearing false witness, here's Michael Steele with a bunch of more lies about the health care.
Yeah, more false witness.
I mean, I find that, first off, to be disingenuous, that you're going to bring faith leaders into a conference call to talk to them about supporting a bill that will allow for the government to pay for the abortion of babies. them about supporting a bill that, at best, just to be conservative in the approach, raises a question about end-of-life decisions that families have to make.
Oh,
I found that to be offensive, and I find it to be disingenuous.
Huh. Unlike when Terry Schiavo was.
Yeah, then it was, was hunky-dory. Yeah.
Yes, the government should have intervened there.
Yes. The president signs the bill in his jammies.
Now, and that is dancing with DeLay.
Oh, boy.
Who saw Tom DeLay drunking McPuke shoes on Hardball?
Tom DeLay, you joined the cast of Dancing with the Stars.
Can you believe it?
Oh, my God. Did you see him holding up the dance shoes he's going to use on Dancing with the Stars?
No.
Look at this shoe. It's a little pump with high heels.
I have very small petite feet.
Feminine step. Sounds like a lady when he's walking in the room.
Texas two-step, polka, waltz. I even took disco lessons once.
How did he do such fantastic stunts with such little feet?
Well, sometimes people check to see if it's a man or woman walking into the room by the sound of the steps.
We have mentioned before that he has, he shops for shoes at the Baby Gap.
It is very hard for me to find shoes.
That's not slander.
Slander?
That's the truth.
This is the truth.
It's like, an ice cream cone trying to stand up.
It'll just fall over.
Yeah.
No leverage.
Yeah.
How about that?
I've been told I have a very feminine step.
Baby gap.
What is that?
You know, it sounds like to me.
A lady.
How about that?
Thank you, listener Ken in Cleveland. Oh, we may be having too much fun, or it may get even worse. Oh, why, who's that, Jim? Why am I asking you? You're in L.A. It's comedian John Fugelsang.
Yay. That's right. Welcome to New York, Steppers.
Thank you, baby. Lovely town you have here.
It's lovely to have you here. It's kind of hot. All the chalk body outlines are a little runny, but we're delighted to have you join us.
Thank you. I, you know, as any, you're obviously talk about religious stuff very fluidly because both of your parents were clergy.
Indeed.
But you will understand this. As I was on Ed Schultz yesterday and as a liberal going to MSNBC, like visiting the Vatican.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
I love going over there. I love going over there.
Hung out with Rachel Maddow in her office for a while. I would have licked Keith Olbermann's chair again, but he doesn't show it in the studio.
I gave Rachel one of her first jobs in TV for a pilot I hosted for ABC News a couple years ago.
Awesome.
I loved you on the Ed Show.
Thank you. Honey.
And folks, if you're wondering, yes, she still smells like the Old Spice musk. I can tell you had a good time with it. You were great on that show.
You looked gorgeous,
and you were so powerful. And you're right about the Christianity. You know, hearing Hannity vomit forth this hypocrisy. Can you imagine Jesus asking Lazarus if death was a pre-existing condition? It's absurd. This morning, my father, he's a 75-year-old ex-Franciscan brother, and he, as we speak, is at his pastor in Florida because his pastor has been putting out a newsletter for the church that talks with a bit that talks about how if this passes, if the Obama health care bill passes, federal funds will go to pay for abortion. A lie in the church bulletin. So my 75-year-old dad, two heart attacks, six bypasses, has gone this morning to meet his pastor, and he brought with him in his pocket a copy of the Hyde Amendment, named for the late Henry Hyde, passed in the 70s, where it said that federal funds will never be used for abortion.
Right.
Period.
Right.
They keep spreading the lies, and it's up to the good Christian folks and the seniors in Florida to lead this fight.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's don't they hate it? It's like the president using their ray gun against them when he uses religious phrases. Here's a newsflash for you. The president actually is religious.
Well,
and they are exactly bearing false witness.
That's and he's
exactly
not a Muslim.
Yeah, exactly. And the biggest threat we have in this country is Christians. And I'm serious. Christians who believe in worshiping Christ as a God because it's a lot easier than following his teachings. Jesus was the most liberal, dare I say, socialist character in the history of spirituality or literature.
Right.
And this whole healthcare debate is a moral issue. I listened to Obama's phone call. I called in, and I thought it was really, really inspiring. And, you know, this is what it's all about. I've said it on the air before, but Christ was anti-capitalism, anti-death penalty, anti-public prayer, and he never asked a leper for a copay.
Right.
It's the moral argument of our time, and it's time to take Jesus back from the creeps. There's a lot of people I call Christians in name only, or chinos. And there's a lot of wrinkled chinos out there. And they seem to think that because they put up a tree in their house once a year, that they have a corner on morality.
Yeah.
They don't. They're on the wrong side.
I love the couple of things he said yesterday in that call. He said the debate over health care goes to the heart of who we are as a people. He says health care is a core ethical and moral obligation. I mean, that is one amazingly big part of it, I think, that we're losing in all the heat and the noise.
Real Christians don't deny care to the sick.
Right. Right. He said no provisions are being made for illegal immigrants, as detractors claim. He again denied his aim is a government takeover of the health care system. He said these are all fabrications that have been put out there in order to discourage people from meeting what I consider to be a core ethical and moral obligation.
But here's the problem. See, these guys are on defense all the time. Every time I see Barack Obama speaking now, he's talking about what's not in the bill. You know, and in that sense, it's time for the Democrats to grow a pair and reframe the whole debate, because I keep hearing these guys.
We're having the debate on their terms.
How they're still guiding it. And it's time for someone to come out and call them liars. You know, I want Chastity Bono to join the Democrats and teach them how to be a man, because I haven't seen it happening yet.
That's true. It's like the more time we spend talking about things that aren't even in the bill, we're not explaining to Americans what actually is in the bill.
And that's Michael Steele's plan.
Yeah, exactly.
His evil, incompetent plan.
And we've fallen for it because, as you know, I'm not very bright. Let's check some entertainment, some light, fluffy entertainment here, shall we?
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you very much. Our top story, actor Stephen Baldwin said yesterday his older, more famous brother, you know Stephen, a child of a lesser Baldwin, Alec Baldwin, can seriously considering a challenge to Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman, which I think is just a Jim Dandy idea. I believe I can picture their debates.
Good evening. I'm Tom Brokaw, formerly of NBC Nightly News. Tonight, a debate between Senator Joe Lieberman and a man who would replace him, actor Alec Baldwin. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you, Tom. It's good to see you again. Hello, Tom.
We held a coin toss to determine who would go first. Mr. Baldwin won, so
I object.
Senator, this is not a court of law. You're not allowed to...
No, I object to the coin. It was clearly a Nazi Reichsmark. That coin is... that coin is obviously anti-Semitic.
No, Senator, it was an ordinary quarter.
An anti-Semitic quarter.
Whatever. Mr. Baldwin, please proceed.
Thank you, Tom. Senator Lieberman is a quizzling Benedict Arnold turncoat, backstabbing Shiksa-Kuova whore. And I say that with all due respect. Schmuck, Putz, Fisher, Schmendrick.
Gentlemen, please, let's try to keep this relatively civil.
I refuse to be lectured by an actor. What do you know about taking huge checks from giant faceless corporations in return for doing their bidding? You mean like NBC, a wholly owned subsidiary of General Electric? Been there, done that. Besides, Joe Lieberman spent years playing a character on the TV series Alf. True. And for some reason, that gun of Max Wright keeps getting my residual checks.
That's outrageous. The guy's a thoughtless little pig. I'm going to go down there and straighten him out.
So we actually agree on something. You sure you're not a Lanzmann?
It's like when the Spucha.
You're okay for a Shegetz.
Ugh. Don't hawk me a Chinook with a Narishkeit. Now you got me doing it. We'll be right back after this bit of Michigas from our Fertumalta sponsors.
Yay!
Always throwing some Yiddish, just automatic funny.
Those impressions are eerie. All right. And finally, the headline is Al Gore to help open movie Inglourious Basterds in Nashville?
What?
Huh? Quentin Tarantino's new film, Inglourious Basterds, asked the former vice president to host a national movie premiere, and Gore was happy to do it, according to his spokesman. We have Al Gore here.
You might be wondering why I would be hosting the premiere of Inglourious Basterds, a very violent revisionist history retelling of the fight against Nazism. Well, for one thing, the producer of the film, Lawrence Bender, was one of the producers of my film, An Inconvenient Truth. For another, I've been the victim of revisionist history myself. There are still many people who believe that I actually lost the election in 2000, when in fact that was a rumor floated by George Bush's cousin on Fox News. The media ran with it, and I was forced to concede. Twice. Also, when I see the yahoos protesting the health care reform, brandishing swastikas and pictures of Obama with a Hitler mustache, I'm tempted to go after those whack jobs and bash them in the head with a baseball bat myself and disembowel them with a rusty knife and they're up and the out of there until they're out of there. Sorry you had to see me like that. But holy, that felt good.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week to tell your friends. If you'd like more Jim Ward, fall the roll.
Jim Ward's apocryphal but true. Tylad, StephanieMiller.com. Go there, buy the album. Thank you.
Thank you, boy. Howdy.
Check it out. It's great stuff. Al just lost the American Nazi Party vote.
Yeah. Oh, damn. That would have put him over the
Al
edge.
Al Gore would sound like in a Quentin Tarantino film. That's what we should have done before he gave up the race, Jim. We should have put that giant needle in his chest to try to revive his run.
Purified reservoir dogs.
Exactly. 20 minutes after the hour, back with comedian Don Duguesang live in studio. And he'll maybe tell the jokes that almost got him thrown off CNN yesterday.
Ooh.
About Paula Abdul.
Yeah.
I, as someone who has already been thrown off CNN.
You radio host.
We'll be thrilled to hear those. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, even I found that to be in bad taste.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
What if
Stephanie Miller
was one of us? Just a flaw like one of us.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it live from New York City, 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Joined live in studio by comedian John Fugelsang, who was nearly thrown off CNN last night. I actually have been banned, as have all talk radio hosts, as you know.
I know. But you're right, I'm trying to conform to you even more.
You actually had someone say to you on air, we're sorry we booked you?
He said to me on the air, I'm sorry we booked you. And this was on the Showbiz show, Steph. I don't just come out and rant about politics. I do commentary on pop culture, and they asked me to come on. They called me in the morning. They said, can you come in studio to CNN and talk about Paul Abdul and Pauly Shore and John Gosselin? It's a summit. And I said, I sure can, and I'm so glad you're not booking those radio types anymore because they're ruining your credibility. So I'm talking about
important issues like Pauly Shore is not.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm on the air and with the guest host. The normal host of the Showbiz show is this guy, AJ Hammer, who I used to be a VJ with at VH1.
He's a
great guy. Back when VH1 could still spell the word music before it became the washed up B-list and a hot tub loser channel. And so I'm on the air and they're asking about Paul Abdul. And, I just said, well, Paula now really gets to pursue her passion, keeping prescription drugs out of the hands of young people. And the host flips out at me, goes, allegedly. I'm like, yeah, allegedly, like Randy Jackson's allegedly black. I said, this is the first time in the history of reality TV they've dropped someone with a prescription drug habit. And he goes, well, what do you think she should do now? And I'm like, oh, Howard K. Stern's single? I don't know. I mean, and I said, she really has a choice now. Paula Abdul has a beautiful choice. She has millions in the bank. She can either choose to be an artist or a celebrity.
Yes.
But they're going to bring Posh Spice on to replace her, and the fifth best singer in the history of the Spice Girls.
Yes, clearly she is.
Yes, and I made a comment about Paul Abdul, how much I love seeing people who lip-sync in concert judging the singing of others. So I guess they expect to have prompter monkeys and gossip junkies, and they weren't ready for me, so they moved it to Pauly Shore and his tantrum, which I was moved by because I thought it was great someone had an onset tantrum the day Novak died. And, and I said I thought the thing was more staged than a Civil War reenactment. And they flipped out of me. And then we got to John Gosselin. And I just, talked about how he'll never leave the show because Kate needs to feed twice a day. And, they knew I was a comic when they booked me. And so at the very end of the whole segment, the guest host, Carlos something, very handsome man, very happy guy, talks like this. Said to me, I'm sorry we booked you on the air. I got on the Showbiz show?
Oh, my
really?
God.
I don't want to ruin the taste level and, distract from all your missing blondes.
Yeah. Chris, as you know, I've been lectured on the air, but I've never
been
actually.
Yes, you have. By the great Neil Cavuto.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
By Cavuto.
Oh, actually, no, he was not man enough to lecture me on the air. He lectured me the next day.
Yes.
Remember? He did a whole little commentary.
Really?
Yes.
Well, what did he say? Over what?
Who cares?
Steph made fun of Fox News, and the next day he lectured her about coming on and trying to impress her liberal friends with swipes at Fox News.
Oh, because I implied that Fox News had a conservative bias of some sort.
What?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And that would be like, calling Cavuto a doughy right-wing tool.
Yeah. Which I didn't.
Right, of course.
Okay.
Because that's not true.
Speaking of Paula Abdul, so they're saying, her manager says there have been, because it's been rumored that maybe they're still negotiating and she might be back.
Mm-hmm.
But her manager is saying no.
Yeah,
which could be another negotiating ploy.
Well, I'll tell you, one thing American Idol does well, aside from churning out stars who make albums no one buys, the one thing they do really well is generate water cooler talk.
Mm-hmm.
And every week I'm in awe of how the show manufactures controversy. And mark my words, she probably won't be back this season, but she'll be back next year. I mean, it's going to be, as soon as their ratings dip, they'll bring her back. And, I don't think we'll be...
Talk show host, radio host back on CNN first, or Paula Abdul?
radio show host back on CNN first. Paula Abdul next year.
Let's hope. 28 minutes after the hour. Back with more Celebrity Stack and John Fugelsang and healthcare and lions and tigers and bears.
This is New York. Live a little. Boundaries are made to be tested. That's why...
Stephanie Miller.
Can I stop using a safe word?
Ms. Rahi!
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Joined live in studio by comedian John Fugelsang.
Good morning. Welcome.
You are a aficionado of the tweeting, are you not?
I'm learning how to tweet, yes. I'm embracing my inner twit.
Did you see this? Courtney Love has tweeted a photo of herself with a dead turtle on her head.
You know what? I haven't had enough free time to expose myself to that just yet. Normally, I care a lot about everything Courtney Love does.
Well, so. When you told me about the Pauly Shore tantrum, my biggest question was, Pauly Shore was in a movie? Really? He had an onset? Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, you know, Pauly Shore, we don't know what was behind his tantrum, but I recommend he say it was mercury poisoning.
Okay, good idea. D-Listed writes, earlier this morning, Courtney Love posted these pictures on her Twitter of her in bed with a taxidermy turtle. Yes, it's come to this. Only a dead turtle will get in bed with Court after she forces it.
Wow. Every time you buy a Nirvana album, at least you know where the money's going.
Okay. Oh, here's something we should all know. You know, the whole Sting and tantric sex thing? Apparently that was a joke that Bob Geldof made up, according to Sting's daughter. The whole having sex for 8 hours.
I don't know what's more disturbing, that Bob Geldof starts talking about Sting's sex life or that his daughter does.
Yeah.
Either way, I just, you know, well, as long as he's not taking off his shirt in concert.
8 hours, but not in a row.
Not in a row, over a lifetime.
Yeah.
So I'm here in New York, as you know. Jim, if I would have made an offer for you if I'd known, Billy Joel is selling his Hamptons estates for only $35 million.
Oh, heck, I got that on me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the bad news is he'll be your personal chauffeur, too.
You know, he didn't start the fire.
It's a pair of adjacent homes he owns. Here's a fun fact. The bigger of the two homes once belonged to the late Jaws actor Roy Scheider, who realized that he was going to need a bigger boat and a bigger house, apparently.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I used to use this private beach and he'd run out and say, "Get out of the water now! Get out of the water now!" I'm hoping for Billy. I come from Long Island, so we like listen to Billy Joel songs and break off into discussion groups. And I knew it was bad when he married the 9-year-old gold digger, and I'm really hoping it's good for his art. Please, write songs again, Billy. Do a Disney film. Something. Get away from Elton.
Something. Jim, I have a Guess the Quote for you. It's a very timely Guess the Quote. Are you ready?
Okay.
Who said, we went over backwards repeatedly and with great discipline to make sure politics did not influence any national security and homeland security matter. The clear instructions were to make sure politics never influenced anything. This is, by the way, the hint is someone from the Bush administration. Who said that?
Billy Joel.
No! Bad guess. Andy Card in denying Tom Ridge's poll.
Bush's newspaper. The man who told Bush every morning what he needed to know.
Yeah. Yeah, that has great credibility to me. He says that nothing ever political was this.
Yeah,
in case you missed the story, former Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge says pressure from fellow cabinet members to raise the nation's terror alert level just before the 2004 presidential election.
Yeah.
Helped convince him it was time to quit working for President Bush. In his new book, Ridge says, despite the urgings of Donald Rumsfeld and Ashcroft, he objected to raising the security level.
But he didn't resign. He did it, right?
He didn't stand up
for what was right.
Yeah, it's interesting when they go to book deal, suddenly they get a conscience.
I realized
it was wrong.
He did resign the post shortly after the election, though.
Right, after he got Bush reelected.
Right,
now,
yeah.
What's the word for when you try to get political gain by terrorizing people? What's the word
terrorism.
For that? Terrorism.
Yeah.
Thank you. The one and only correct answer.
Thank you.
Dick Cheney just unfriended Tom Ridge on Facebook.
Although, this morning, former White House Homeland Security Advisor Fran Townsend was on CNN, and she said, "Oh, that's absolute rubbish. Donald Rumsfeld never said anything like that to Tom Ridge."
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So let me get this straight. CNN feels that liars from the former Bush administration have more credibility than do, let's say, radio talk show hosts.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I see how that's world-class reporting there.
So radio talk show hosts are liars from the Bush administration.
Stephanie, you're such a pro at bringing it back to yourself, aren't you?
Is there something else it's about?
Look, when they let me on CNN and not Stephanie Miller, something smells bad in Denmark, all right?
Listen, you've been on this show enough times to maybe almost be a radio talk show host. You better be careful, mister.
Shh, I'm telling him I'm a blogger.
Yeah, you know, John said that, what, they're letting bloggers on? Like, they have more credibility?
They're letting Amy Holmes on the air, my God.
Yeah.
They're letting Department of Mannequins on the air.
Anyone that can type in their underwear has more credibility than radio hosts, all right.
Boy, they let Glenn Beck go.
Yes, Stephanie, they will let Obama girl on before they will let you on.
They'll let guys who bring guns to town hall meetings on before Stephanie
Miller. Yeah, to get what their whole rationale was behind
that. And don't feel bad about that. You know, show me a guy who brings a rifle to a town hall meeting, and I'll show you a man ashamed of his own pistol.
Hey. John, where are we at, I think, in the whole healthcare debate? It's been a lot of heat, a lot of noise.
I'm glad you asked, Steph, because I am writing a book, and I want to announce my new self-help book that I'm writing for Obama about Chuck Grassley.
It's called He's Just Not That Into You. And yes. Watching Obama yesterday go on right-wing radio and again say how much Chuck Grassley's helping him. It's like all those years we spent watching Whitney try to make it work with Bobby. You know, it's so painful. It's like, Barry, get your groove back. Exhale, exhale.
You know, Whitney is going on Oprah Winfrey for her when her new album comes out. And I bet it will sound it will be exactly the same story.
I think it will. But Whitney got away. Obama's still got this, like, battered wife on cop syndrome towards Grassley. And Grassley's in a really tough place. You know, it's fun to make fun of him because he's douche-tastic. But the fact is, he has to answer to the Republicans of Iowa. Now, think about the most conservative Republicans you know in your life. And then imagine them in Iowa, okay? Yes. These are the negative conservatives on roids. And Grassley's kind of damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. Because if he helps Obama at all with this plan, but still votes against it, they're going to vote him out.
Right.
So
well,
he has to answer to them.
This was the story this morning. Chuck Grassley, Olympia Snow, Mike Enzi are facing attacks from the right and the left. Liberals think they're watering down a far-reaching health care bill. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And conservatives think they may give Democrats bipartisan support for a left-wing bill. The three Senate Republicans, still trying to, of course, craft a bipartisan health bill, are now facing an ad campaign by the right-wing Club for Growth, which is telling them not to cave to Democrats. The group is launching TV commercials in the senator's home states as part of its campaign aimed at defeating the bill.
Yeah, so Grassley's damned no matter what he does. Even if he votes against the bill he helps create, they're still going to vote him out in his own district. He's going to be challenged by his own party in his own state when he's up for re-election. And I get the feeling Grassley's the kind of guy who wants to do the right thing, but wants to keep his job more, something Tom Ridge apparently knows about.
Yeah, exactly. Jim DeMint, who obviously has admitted this is all about breaking the president politically for him, he said any Republican that goes along with this idea of let's pass something in the Senate and send it to the conference with the House is really betraying everything we're hearing right now from the American people.
Mm-hmm. Because their plan is so much better. What's their plan? What is that? Nothing, that's right.
Meaning the American people, meaning people sent there by friends of the insurance companies to scream.
You know what? I think I said this a few weeks ago. If Obama would call his health care plan Operation Iraqi Freedom, we'd find $1 billion a week. We're still spending, Americans, $1 billion a week in Iraq for what's the official reason? To fight terrorism. Now, last year, over 560,000 Americans died of cancer.
Yeah.
Cancer kills a lot more people than terrorism. If we're fighting terrorism to protect American lives, isn't fighting disease a patriotic duty of all of us?
One would think, yes.
You'd think that.
Yes. We talked to Senator Sanders this morning and also to Congressman Sestak, and it's hard to know. There is just so much heat and noise right now, like what's actually going to get done. And I think they're still confident, like the president said yesterday, we will get it done. And Bernie Sanders said whether it's through reconciliation or however we have to do it, he does think it's going to get done. So I'm trying to stay positive.
Well, I'll tell you, the real heroes to me are the progressive media and the real liberals in America this week, because we saw something remarkable happen when Obama came out and was going to ditch the public option. And what happened? The folks like Stephanie Miller.
That's
and,
right.
And it's,
well, Politico calls them his powerful talk radio allies.
Well, the ones keeping him honest. You know?
Why do you keep laughing?
Bill Clinton threw us all under the parade float, but it was the folks on MSNBC, and most importantly, it was the grassroots progressives and liberals and Republicans with a soul who fought back, and a day later, Obama buckled to left pressure. How often have you ever heard of that happening?
Right.
It was really inspiring, and you can't get angry at these town hall protesters and birthers because that's their language. You can't fight hate with hate. You've got to ask them the right questions. You know? Do you support undoing Medicare? Should Medicare be disbanded?
Right.
Will you opt out of Medicare?
Well, like we were saying, I think to me, the best thing news I've heard lately is Nancy Pelosi absolutely drawing an unequivocal line in the sand yesterday. Chris, do we have that from yesterday? I don't know if it's a shot across the president's bow or just a line in the sand, but here it was.
Wait, there's no way I can pass a bill in the House of Representatives without a public option.
She said, there's no way I can pass a bill in the House of Representatives without a public option.
Yeah,
God bless her.
I heard her.
Well, she was very muffled there, so in case you didn't hear her.
You're like one of our callers that I say, hi, it's Jim in Detroit. Hi, Stephanie, this is Jim in Detroit.
Stephanie, like I said, it was very muffled.
Just kidding, Chris.
But someone's got to keep him honest, you know, because I don't know about y'all, but I thought I was getting a black president, okay? And we knew he was half white when he had a Bud Light with the cop 2 weeks ago, but I'm ready to get Obama. It's okay to get black. You can always come back.
Yeah, what happened to Shaft?
Chris,
we got to find our Shaft montage and play it after the break. I want Shaft again.
True dat.
43 minutes after the hour.
Talk about Shaft.
43 minutes after the hour, right back with comedian John Feuerstein, live in the studio with me in New York City, right here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
My word, what a gorgeous way to wake up.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, live from New York City, 48 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Joined live in studio by comedian John Fugelsang.
Holla back, Miller.
Holla. Marlene, South Dakota, you're on with John Fugelsang. Hey, Marlene.
San Diego.
Hello, Marlene, or San Diego.
Hello.
I wrote down SD. Okay, go ahead.
Hi. Say, I have about three things to say, and I've been on the phone waiting for about an hour and a half, so please bear with me.
Okie dokie.
Good. Before I say those three things, I want to say something about that guy who called in, you know, stating those pages of one of the bills for the health reform.
Yes.
Saying, you know, page 3, page 4.
Yes.
You know, the trick that a lot of them play is that they will play a subsection. I mean, they will quote a subsection of a subsection of a subsection.
Oh, I know. They're like Paul Harvey on crack. They're like,
yeah.
Page 3. Just
know,
to make you look like an idiot, like you don't know what you're talking about, and they do.
Exactly. I used to study that way, you know, for tests in college, and I would fail because I only read little parts here and there. So, you know, you guys should check, you know, those pages, because he's probably quoting.
I got it. Absolutely.
Got it. So the first thing I want to say is that there was a lady last week who called your show, and she said that when she goes into these places that have waiting rooms, they're always playing Fox News. I find the same thing. I go to, like, whenever I go to get my oil change or places like this where you have to sit there for an hour or two.
Yeah. Well, Marlene, it's one of the reasons, yeah, I think in some quarters we are losing ground on the health care debate, because that's true. If you travel around like I am now, you can get Fox anywhere. MSNBC isn't even on the same number of cable systems.
Fast food places, bars, and things like this. So I'm wondering what Fox News is doing to get on there. You know, I mean, are they working out deals with these places or whatever? And it's becoming like the national reality.
I do know that at one point they were working out deals with major hotel chains. That is a fact.
Massive brainwashing, right?
Yep.
There.
Yep. Absolutely. Marlene, thanks for calling.
Respectfully let them know that you're not going to come back and use their business again.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. All right, Marlene, thanks for calling. I know she didn't get to her other 2 points, and she will hate me forever. However,
well, get on the bandwagon, Marlene.
All right. Anyway, you were saying, because it's true that, you know, we were saying this last night on the Ed Show on MSNBC, that you know, it's time for the president to draw the line in the sand, to fish or cut bait, that it's just, this bipartisanship is, and you were saying you thought we voted for a black president. What's up?
Exactly. I thought I voted for a strong black man, a strong, mighty black man.
Exactly. I voted for Shaft myself.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Yes, we can.
Who's the black president that's a sex machine to all the Dems?
Black.
Damn right.
Who is the man that would risk his neck for his brother, man?
Good humor.
Black.
Can you dig it?
First, tell me how people are responding to President Obama.
Well, he's getting great reviews so far. 60% overall approval of the job he's doing.
Who's the captain? Who won't talk about?
You know.
The message you're all about.
Come on.
Black.
Thank you, Shaw. All right.
That made me forget the remake. Thank you.
You know, I got a sort of a hate letter from my parents last night. Bob writes, last night I heard you infer that Karl Rove should be in jail.
Implied.
Oh, I apologize, Bob. I did not mean to infer it. I meant to say Karl Rove should be in jail.
Yes.
Yeah. On the lower bunk underneath Oliver North, by the way.
Trading cigarettes for his life.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me, Bob. I apologize. The Stephanie Miller Show and Stephanie Miller Show apologize.
What's he got to worry about in prison? The Aryans will make him their prag. He'll be protected.
Yeah. And here's how you lose the argument, right-wingers, when you bring up Chappaquiddick, because you might be able to think of something a little more current. He writes, I assume then you feel the same way about Ted Kennedy since blah, 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 blah.
And Laura Bush killed her first boyfriend.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't mean to.
Mm.
It's okay when she does it.
All right.
Same with shorts.
All right. You know, Chris, I mentioned that for a liberal going to MSNBC, like visiting the Vatican for a Catholic. If you could take your organ out for me. Although some people go to the Church of Tom Hartman, as Rob in Washington does. Steph, on Thursday you kept mentioning a study that compared our health system to that of several other countries such as the UK, Australia, etc. However, I don't remember you saying the name of the study. I went on your website thinking I'd find a link to it. Didn't even find a mention of it. Now, whenever Tom Hartman mentions a significant study like this, he always puts up a link on the website so his listeners can read it for themselves. So that you and the mooks can learn to keep up with him, I suggest you wake up every morning and ask yourself, WWTHD, what would Tom Hartman do?
Okay, let me answer that.
H is for
Stephanie... got that from Newsweek magazine. It did not have a web-based counterpart. That's why we didn't put a link up, sir.
Well, why didn't you provide a link to the magazine? Why didn't you fly a magazine through the inner tubes and come
out?
No,
I got that same complaint like all day yesterday.
Tom Hartman?
That would explain like your defensiveness on the subject.
Exactly.
The name of the study was what?
It was from the Commonwealth Fund, and it's in the latest issue of Newsweek magazine.
Yes, you can't be expected to keep up with things that I read on a five-hour flight and spill Chardonnay on and crumple up in my bag and then bring in and read on the air.
I hate my life.
All right, Tim and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Tim.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I talked to a couple of friends who live in Canada, and I asked them, I'm like, so I got a question for you. If you break your knee right now, how long is it going to take you to get it fixed? Because here in the United States, it takes me, 8 weeks. They said, I get it fixed in 2 days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what this study that I forget the name of it and where I read it, but this study said this. It said the same thing, that this lie that the right wing keeps telling just completely false, that our waiting times are much higher than all of these countries with single payer.
And the only thing that they told me is that when you have people who are complaining all the time about the health care up there, it's because they're too lazy to get out their asses to go find a family doctor.
Yep.
They have to go ahead and they use their urgent cares and stuff like that. That's the only reason why they wait longer, because they go to the urgent care, their ER. They don't have a family doctor to go to.
Yep. Thank you, Tim. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it.
Well, and he makes a really good point about Canada. And one of the areas, people don't like this, but I think Obama's dropped the ball on this so many times, the Met should offer him a 6-year deal. Because the thing is, where are the celebrities? All the celebrities that helped him get elected, that were fighting with their publicists to stand next to him on a stage. Where are they in this debate? Where are the Canadian celebrities?
And this was not a controversial issue. You know, when they keep saying, oh, this is controversial, 70% of the American people, when this started, wanted a public option, understood what it was.
Yeah.
I mean, then you're right. I don't think they anticipated this wall of right-wing lies that we ran up against. And we should have, because it's what they always do.
Canadian celebrities, time to step up and help. Seriously.
Ray in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show and the President. Hello, Ray. Hello, Ray.
Hey, check this out. He wants to know where the celebrities are. Well, you still there?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, he wants to know where the celebrities are, and I'm black, so there's no problem for me saying this. The celebrities are the same place the black people are. They're hidden, because that would incite the middle class people for more hatred. Now, my point is, Steph, have you ever heard of the 1-100 rule?
So people hate celebrities and black people. That would surprise Will Smith if he looked at his latest box office receipts.
No, that's what I'm saying. If you put people from Katrina up here, middle class would have a problem with it. But are you familiar with the 1-100 rule?
No.
Here it is. The 1-100 rule is, and if you got kids, you'll know this, for every one instance of positive reinforcement that you give, you got 100 negative reinforcements out there.
Mm-hmm.
So for every time we dispel a lie about the health care system, there are going to be 100 lies in the name of Fox on TV.
Amen.
Yep. Amen, Ray. All right. Thank you. I what I got from that is that I'm a childless loser.
Well,
all right.
That is true.
But you know the new ad that they're running for healthcare, where it shows all the senators' laps at their desk and their shoes up on the desk, saying, "Why can't we have the same plan they have?" Well, I saw that commercial 10 times last night on MSNBC. Why are you preaching to the converted on MSNBC?
Mm-hmm.
Run that ad on Dancing with the Stars and Fox and reach the other people.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see a very organized effort. I see the White House keeping it just them fighting this fight all on their own.
Yeah,
they gotta start calling in their allies.
We have to watch that commercial with the cranky old people a million times. You know the one, Jim. The crotchety old man one.
This new Obama plan wouldn't let me get my surgery, but I have to pay for gay communist abortions for all the transsexuals.
Thank you, Jim.
Mm-hmm. Tell your friends about the Hyde Amendment. Don't hide from it. It's a lie.
That's right.
Yeah. The abortion thing's a lie.
Yeah. Oh, Jim did a hilarious bit. Dick Morris had the screechiest rant ever about do a little, Jim. It's just... all the same lies.
Okay. We're running
out
of time.
Take the toes out of your mouth and do it.
I'll get to it tomorrow.
That's all right. We'll do it. Not tomorrow, but Monday.
Monday.
That's it
yes.
for us today. I'd like to thank comedian John Fugelsang live in
Yay!
Studio.
Less homophobes, more HMO-ophobes.
The Mooks, Jim Ward, Chris Lavoie, and, of course, associate producer Rebecca Baker back in L.A. Thanks to the folks at Dial Global here in New York. See you Monday on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, you, Steph.